This morning I'd like to continue with some thoughts that we have in Sunday school, in the Sunday school hour, though as we look at these verses it might appear at first that we're going into a different subject altogether. So let's just begin reading Romans 12, verses 1, 2, and we'll include verses 3 through 8, though we're not going to be able to cover all of this by way of exposition. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, or this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's just pause again for a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we open the Word this morning, we are aware of the importance of your message. This is your message to us, your Word. So we pray that the Holy Spirit may be the interpreter of your Word this morning, that indeed the thoughts that we have may be those that are dictated by the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, we pray that you'll give us open hearts, deliver us from cares and anxieties and pressures of the week's work and activities, or any other thing that might encroach upon this time that we have around your Word, that our minds may be fully occupied with your Word, and that we may receive it as your message to our hearts, and may it profit us all. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. There's a great deal to be said about the church, the body of Christ, and its members and their function. And I think that today there is perhaps a good deal of uncertainty and lack of knowledge concerning the subject of gifts, to the extent that many Christians are wondering, well, what is my gift, or where do I fit into the body of Christ? So we'd like to deal with this subject, not surely covering it as thoroughly as we would like, because that would take several sessions, but more or less to introduce the subject of spiritual gifts and present it in a way that would challenge us to really think seriously about where do we fit in the body of Christ, and am I truly functioning as a member of that body? Indeed, it is an important subject, and the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Think of that. Paul is saying, I do not want you to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Now, you'll notice that the word gift is probably in italics in your Bible, which means that that word has been supplied by the translators to make the idea clearer. Literally, it is as Paul writes, now concerning spiritual. You say, well, that doesn't make sense, but what he's talking about there is the manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God manifests itself or himself through believers. As we said in the session earlier, the Holy Spirit, in order to accomplish his work, needs people, needs hands, eyes, ears, feet. He needs a body to work through. God hasn't chosen to send angels today with a message of salvation to the lost. The responsibility rests upon believers. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, or make disciples of all nations. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, that is, the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. So the Holy Spirit's work today is to work in believers. You remember how important, or I should say the emphasis that the Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit's coming when Jesus told his disciples, you tarry in Jerusalem, or you wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, the Holy Spirit works through people. So Paul is saying, now brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But I'm afraid that in many places, at least, I do not know about Ross. This is one advantage a visiting preacher has. He doesn't know anything about the congregation or the people in general. And sometimes when he steps on toes, they'll say, well, how did he know about me? I mean, did Wayne tell him something? No, he didn't. But no, really, we sense some needs generally. And so Paul says this is an area, obviously, where the Corinthian church was ignorant. And when you get into the text of the Corinthian letter, you will see chapters 12 and 14, particular 1 Corinthians, was obviously written to correct some ignorance or some mistaken ideas concerning the matter of spiritual gifts. So Paul said, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, Weymouth, in his translation of the New Testament, translates it this way. It is important, brethren, that you should have a clear knowledge on the subject of spiritual gifts. Very plainly put, isn't it? He would have us to have a clear knowledge, a clear understanding of the subject of spiritual gifts. This will answer the question, I think, for many who would say, well, I don't know that I have any gifts. I don't know that I have a gift. We do. Alex Hay, in his book on New Testament Order for Church and Missionary, says, concerning spiritual gifts, he said, this is one of the subjects least understood by Christian people today. It is seldom adequately taught, and unfortunately, the teaching of it is left up to groups whose presentation of it is extravagant and unsound. This has confused the thoughts of many regarding it, even causing some to consider it a subject best avoided. Thus, Satan has succeeded largely in robbing the church of its essential equipment for ministry. How true that is. Oftentimes, when a controversial subject comes up, people have a tendency to avoid it because they don't like to deal with controversy. Well, I'm not so sure that I enjoy debates either. And I'm not so sure that it is best to enter in some heated arguments. But on the other hand, it is important for us to consider any subject, to try to understand as clearly as possible what God has to say. And I think that through the help of the Holy Spirit, He will give us some understanding on the subject. So I think that we can say today, as we look at the church as a whole, that it is suffering from some form of paralysis. Now, paralysis simply means it's an impairment or the loss of power of voluntary motion in one or more parts of the body. Do we see the body of Christ functioning to the fullest extent today? As we look at the church, do we see every member with endued with the power of the Holy Spirit functioning according to God's design for that local body or the church as a whole? This is a serious question. Remembering that the body referred to as the church is the body of Christ here on earth. And the scripture says that He is head over all things to the church, which is His body. This being true, and we are members of that body, it is extremely important for us to understand where we fit in. Today, it seems, generally speaking, that many Christians desire or are satisfied with being mere spectators and not participants. You've heard the story or the illustration of the football game where that there are, how many men are on the field playing football? 22 or whatever? You can tell I'm not much of a football fan, but suppose there are 22 men down there struggling about, you know, since there are 22 men down there desperately in need of rest, and 55 to 100,000 people in the stands desperately needing the exercise. What is the situation in the church? How many people are there really involved in the church, functioning in the church, and there are many sitting back, satisfied to observe, spectators along? The scriptures make it very clear that when God saves a person, He gives that person a gift. Not only does He place him in the body of Christ, but He places him there as a living member to function in cooperation with all the other members of the body so that that body is functioning properly and accomplishing its purpose. Now Paul says in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me," that is the gift. For example, here's the word, grace here is the word charis or charisma. That's quite a common word today. You hear of the charismatics or charismatic movement. It comes from the word grace or gift, the idea of a gift. Paul is saying that through the grace given to me, well, what was this grace given to Paul? What was the gift? Anyone remember what Ephesians 4:11 says? Wayne? Okay. Right. Okay. He gave some. This is God's gift. He gave some to be apostles. And the first mention is the apostle, and Paul was a gift given to be an apostle through the grace given to me, he says. I'm writing to everyone who is among you. Now, he didn't say I'm writing just to a few. He's directing this to the entire church at Rome, to everyone among you, or to each one of you. Now, there are some portions of Scripture that that may be given in a general sense, where if a person reads it, he may say, well, that doesn't particularly apply to me. For example, in Ephesians 4:28, we read, "Let him who stole steal no longer." Well, that didn't apply to everyone in Ephesus, likely, because some would say, well, I don't steal. But there may have been some there that Paul would imply who did. So he's saying, don't do it. Well, that's in a general way. But this is not general, this is specific. Paul is saying to everyone among you. So when we hear this, then we know that the preacher who is proclaiming the word of God is just not throwing it out, let the chips land where they will. This is to be applied to all. He's saying to everyone who is among you, this gift that Paul is going to introduce here to us, the spiritual gifts, the subject of spiritual gifts, is a grace bestowed. Now, beloved, what a privilege we have in being Christians, members of the body of Christ, God's design. If you think about that, that God has designed each one of us in particular to fit into the body of Christ, the church. Does that give you some idea of importance? That is in God's sight, not in our sight. That God would save me for a purpose? Indeed, He has, and He does save people for a purpose. There's no unnecessary members in the body of Christ. Everyone is important. Now, this grace that's given, one thing I'd like to mention here is the fact that this grace, this free gift, is indeed free and cannot be purchased. Vina and I go over to the mall. We live fairly close to a good-sized mall. We go over and walk every morning with the rest of the old people. And we can see some interesting things on display in the mall as we pass by. The other day, we noticed a little sign down in one of the windows says, "Earn free gifts." Earn free gifts. Well, I had to say that aloud, and evidently there was some fellow passing us when he heard that. He just chuckled. Evidently, he knew something of the grace of God. I said, earn free gifts. Can you imagine that? If we earn it, it's not free, is it? If it's a gift, it is free. We haven't deserved it. So Paul's apostleship came as a free gift. Now, these gifts that the church has are really the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit living His life through us. The Holy Spirit was given not only to possess us and to set us apart for God. The Holy Spirit was given to equip us. And there's no such thing as a believer not being equipped. Now, I might add here that it is possible for the believer just to sit, as it were, and not exercise that gift. But that gift is there. The potential is there. Isn't it amazing you take this little baby, just born. He can't talk. He can cry. Does plenty of that, maybe. He can't communicate. He doesn't do much around the house to help. He is totally dependent upon someone else for his life and sustenance. But as you look at that little one, we can see there that there is a potential there. Who knows what he might be? He might be the president of the United States. More importantly, he might be an evangelist. He might be a teacher. Or he may be one whose gift is to show mercy or the gift of giving. You don't see all that in this little one. It's wrapped up there. The potential is there. But he will have to develop, will he not? But so it is with the believer. The potential is there. The gift is there. What it needs is to be developed and exercised. May I ask you this morning, each one of you, are you concerned about this? Is this any concern in your life that, am I really accomplishing all the potential that God has given? There's no such thing as not being able to do what God has called us to do because He has furnished the equipment. The Holy Spirit is there. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He is able. He is able. So these gifts are given to each and every one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again in verse 3, therefore, Paul says, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Do you ever stop to think about when one member is not functioning and that gift is not being manifested in him, that the assembly, the congregation suffers because of that lack? Because he says this is for the profit of all, and if we're not functioning, all are not being profited. And again, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works in these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. This is God's design. It's not that I chose this gift, but God in His wisdom. And we might not understand why, but yet we trust Him and by faith go on trying to accomplish what He wants. Now, we want to deal with the rest of our time. We want to deal with the subject of our attitude toward gifts. There are a number of attitudes we may have, but basically there are two. We may assume that we have gifts that we don't have, or we may say, well, I don't know that it's important anyway. I'll come and sit. Let's look at the rest of this verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. See, this is all God given. But it's important for us to have the right attitude toward these gifts. Not to think, here's one, not to think more highly of oneself than he ought to think. The translators have to take about four or five words to say what the Holy Spirit has said in one word. In the Greek, this is in one word. It's to think more highly. It's hyperphroneo. For those of you who want to go back and check on the Greek on that, it's interesting that he would choose that one word, hyperphroneo. And these two words combined, hyper is over, and phroneo here has to do with the mind or to think. So what is he saying here? Paul is saying, I don't want you to overthink. I don't want you to overthink. I don't want you to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to think soberly. Now this is the problem. Because you see, there are certain ones who would think that, well, I want a certain gift. Not looking to God to see what it is, but desiring on His part to have a particular gift. Now this is getting down to an old problem of that old nature that is still within. The problem of pride. Because this was one of the problems of the Corinthians. And it's one of the problems that many face today. Now particularly, the biggest problem there with the Corinthians is that there were a couple of those gifts that the people all seem to want to exercise. And that problem is 2,000 years old. Guess what it is? Remember Paul saying, I don't want you to overthink. I don't want you to think more highly than you ought to think, but I want you to think soberly. What were these Christians wanting? What was the problem that Paul had to correct? The miracle gifts. Basically, speaking in tongues and healing. Now, why would everybody want this gift? Or these gifts? That's the upfront, isn't it? That's the one that's most visible. The gifts that give a display of extraordinary. It's the more vocal one and the more impressive one. And for example, today, you run into people, and bless their hearts, there are many of them are confused, and I'm not really downing the people, but I'm talking about a doctrine here that's being seriously misunderstood. But there are those who are seeking the gift of tongues. Why? Is it because it's the upfront, the outfront, the more noticeable, the dramatic gift? Well, what does it do for a person to have that? Well, it would attract a lot of attention, wouldn't it? And that's not the attitude that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to display. Don't always seek the spectacular. What was the lesson the Lord Jesus taught His apostles? And of all things, at that particular time, as given in John chapter 13, when He's gathered with His disciples, and He takes the towel and girds, He takes off His garment, He takes the towel and girds Himself. In other words, He puts on the garb of a servant, and He goes around and starts washing their feet. A lowly place. Who wants to be a servant? Not many people. As a matter of fact, in verse 7 of Romans 3, or Romans 12, when Paul enumerates these gifts, he says, the one who has the gift of ministry, let him use it in ministry. What is this ministry? Ministry means service. It means serving. It means serving others. And it doesn't always mean serving in a public way in which may involve certain activities that goes on in the assembly, particularly when the gathering, when they're gathering together for the preaching of the Word or the Lord's Supper, what have you. But it has to do with that work that's done out there in the kitchen and other places that is not so noticeable. It may mean visiting the sick when they're not able to do anything and do something that doesn't get a lot of attention. That's so against our nature, isn't it? That's so against our nature. And this is one of the things that I cannot understand. There are people who are always asking for the gift of something notable, speaking in tongues or working miracles or what have you. I never hear anyone saying, I want the gift of ministry, to serve. I want to be a servant. I don't know how to serve people. Or the gift of giving. Oh boy, who wants the gift of giving? Someone said that when you talk about a person's pocketbook, you're hitting a sensitive area. Someone has said the most sensitive nerve in the human anatomy is the one that leads to the pocketbook. And how true. But who wants the gift of giving? That means parting with this thing that means so much to us. But you hear people saying, I'd like to have that. Lord, give me the gift of mercy. Seeking the gift of mercy. Showing mercy is sometimes a very difficult thing to do. Because it puts us in places and positions and circumstances that are most undesirable. I remember in the community where I grew up, I was about 12, 13 years old, I guess. My younger brother and I contracted tularemia. I don't know if any of you know what tularemia is or not. Yeah, you're the only one that knows. Few people have heard about it, know about it. And back then in my community, it was unheard of. And when people in the community heard we had tularemia, they thought it was leprosy or something. I mean, they would pass the highway, but that's as close as they would get. And here we were in bed, six weeks, high fever, delirious, out of our minds sometimes. I explained this to my wife. That's what's wrong. That's the problem she's had to deal with all these years. But nevertheless, there were two ladies down the road and away, realizing that Mother had been up day and night, and how could she continue? Because we needed constant care and attention. She couldn't sleep much. These two ladies came in one day, and remembered that nobody else would come in because they were afraid it was contagious. And so they came in and they said, Ella, I want you to go to bed. We're taking over. Mother says, but oh, she said, they're clothes to be washed and dishes to be washed and everything, and I'm the only one that's doing it. So they said, it doesn't matter. We want you to go to bed. You've got to get some rest. And we're going to take care of the house and the dishes and everything. I'd call that mercy. And I would call that going to the extreme, because they didn't know but what they may, that disease was, whether it was contagious or not. So why is it that there's so much confusion about these gifts? When, as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Or, in verse 11, distributing to each one individually as He wills. You see, it's God who decides what gift or gifts we have, and not we ourselves. These are gifts given for the profit of all. And Paul is simply saying to the Corinthians here, brethren, I want you to get your mind straight. I want you to think realistically. I want you to think soberly. I want you to think soberly. Now, that's another interesting word. I want you to think soberly. Remember, the other word I use is hyperphroneo, overthink. Now he's saying, I want you to think soberly. This is sophroneo. You want to know where this is used in another part of the Scripture? Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And we find an interesting way in which the word is used here. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, this has to do with this man, you know, whom the Lord met, possessed with demons. Verse 15, and they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Sophroneo. In his right mind, Paul is simply saying, brethren, I don't want you to overthink, but I want you to think in your right mind. Right thinking. Have the right mind concerning this. As God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. A gift of God. God's gift to us. Now, we could spend a lot of time on these gifts, and it would be profitable. But we can't do that all today. Sufficient to say that it is enough to challenge us to think where we stand, where we fit in the body of Christ, whether the local assembly or the church as a whole. And the big question, am I functioning? Is the gift of the Holy Spirit being manifest? Is the entire assembly profiting by my being here, being a part of it? Or am I like one of the 55,000 sitting in the grandstand? A spectator. I'm simply watching what is going on. What a challenge this is today for us, whom the Lord has commissioned and gifted and placed us in the body of Christ, and that indeed we are to function. Closing with this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Can we truly say that God is being glorified as a result of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us through the profit of the entire body of Christ and for the glory of Him who is head over all things to the church? If we haven't seriously thought about this, I'd leave this challenge with you. Because if there's anything needed today, it is a strong testimony in this world that is becoming more and more hostile toward Christ and His church. They refuse to have God's Word proclaimed because it cramps the lifestyle. But yet, we are to be a living witness and testimony in this world. Where do we stand? Where do we fit? What part of the body are we? May God help us to discover that and to function to the fullest as the Holy Spirit gives us that power. Our Father, it's very difficult for us to understand how that you can take sinners, redeem them by your love and grace, cleansing them by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and placing each one of us as members in the body of Christ, the church, that you would see fit to give us gifts for functioning in that body, whether it be hands, feet, eyes, or ears. Oh Lord, whatever the gift is, whether it be of teaching, preaching, giving, mercy, or whatever. O Lord, grant that we might understand fully and that we might yield ourselves to you, that you might accomplish in us and through us that which would bring glory and honor to him who is head over all things to the church. We pray especially today for this assembly here. We thank you for their faithfulness and encouragement to us particularly. We know that they have a testimony in this community, and we pray that that testimony may be increased and strengthened as each member takes more and more the responsibility of functioning according to the gifts which you have provided. May this assembly be a light shining in this community and a testimony for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.